Subscribe to The Spectator in September and get 3 months of website and app access absolutely free. Follow the Tories' leadership campaign, Labour's inaugural budget, and the US elections with Britain's best-informed journalists, and get your first 3 months free only in September. Go to spectator.co.uk/sale24.
Hello and welcome to the Americano podcast, a series of discussions about American politics, power and prejudices. This year, 2024, is an election year in America, a presidential election year. And so we will be doing two podcasts a week rather than our usual one because we want to and because we know you can't get enough Americano in your life. Today we are going to be talking about the debate which happened last night between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, the first debate between these two, indeed the first time those two politicians have ever met. I think I can say fairly-ish that it went pretty badly for Donald Trump and pretty well for Kamala Harris. That seems to be the unanimous opinion. And I'm very pleased to be joined to discuss this by Sarah Elliott of Republicans Overseas. Sarah, it was a bad night for Trump. There's no sugarcoating it.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't live up to expectations, you know, when the race is as close as it is, and this is the one agreed to debate. It could turn it either way. There was a lot of expectation. I do think that the expectation on Kamala was, well, we have very low expectations for her. So she didn't have to do exceptionally well to surpass them because of the CNN interview and her just word salad style. But Donald Trump was not focused. He took her bait and went down rabbit holes. And it was a real missed opportunity for him to define her as that radical politician, which she is, which her record is, that she will not talk about, will not put on her website. And she was able to say things during the debate saying that she was against a fracking ban and she would never touch her guns. And that was never fact-checked by the moderators. So she got away with making herself appear more moderate than she is. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure what a difference this will make.
Well, let's get on to that. But just on the moderators, a lot of Republicans are saying, you know, it was a 3-v-1 debate and saying, as you say, rightly, that the moderators fact-checked Trump repeatedly and just didn't do it with Harris, even though she said some things that were plainly untrue. It does sound a little bit like whining, though, doesn't it, after the event?
Yes. Well, you know, your side isn't winning if you're complaining about the ref.
Yeah.
But it was very noticeable. And I think anybody with any sense of objectivity was wondering, why is David Muir jumping in here? Why is he cutting off Donald Trump when he's talking about Afghanistan, of which the Biden numbers never recovered after that horrible withdrawal? Lindsay Davey, the other moderator, I mean, she went in with softballs and a couple challenging ones with Kamala, but Kamala got away without saying, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And she got to go on kind of these personal tangents with no pushback whatsoever. So, you know, it was discouraging as a viewer to see that. But, you know, I guess it's just this, why do Republicans keep doing debates on these major anti-Republican networks anyway? You know, why do we keep making this mistake every 4 years when the country is on the line? You're going to rely on a mainstream network to do the debate.
Well, the Harris campaign have said already that they want to do another debate. Whether that's bluster or not, we'll have to wait and see. And Trump has said he'd like to be on Fox. And he's also said he doesn't want Brett Baier to be the moderator. He'd rather have someone like Sean Hannity or Jesse Waters, who's much more, or Laura Ingraham, who's much more sort of in the tank for Donald Trump. But that's just probably not going to happen, is it?
Well, I mean, you could raise the stakes and see if she'll meet it. If she's so eager to have another moment on stage with Donald, you know, put her in that situation where she'll have to accept or reject it.
She does seem confident. Her delivery is pretty good, actually. I mean, I've taken as much joy as anyone else in reposting her word salads over the last 4 years. But there weren't really word salads last night. I mean, she wasn't, you know, Abraham Lincoln, but she was not incoherent, and he was at certain points.
Yeah, and she didn't do the cackle.
Yes, she's learned not to do that.
Yeah, she I could tell she wanted to, and then she, like, you know, hemmed it in. I was really waiting for that release. Yeah, I mean, she was disciplined. She was prepared. This is probably the Kamala, prosecutor Kamala. This is probably what she was like as a lawyer. And, you know, she knew exactly what buttons to push with him.
You say it probably won't matter much in terms of the election, and I think that's probably right. But people do have to consider how dramatic the last presidential debate was. We don't know the exact viewing figures, but we think they're extremely high for last night. And we also know that mail-in voting is pretty much starting this month. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of Americans, whether it's just from seeing clips or whether it's from watching the whole thing, when they cast their ballots this month in a number of very key swing states, the last thing on their minds in relation to this race will be Donald Trump flailing, Kamala Harris seeming to be more in command of information and looking a bit more presidential, dare I say it.
Yeah. I mean, there is that, but it's still 60 days, close to 60 days away. There's still a lot of time before the election. We got to get through September. We got to get through an October surprise. I mean, she had a lot more to gain from this and a lot more to lose from it because she's more of an unknown candidate than Donald Trump. So she did very well for herself. I think she edged it. I don't think it was a slam dunk. She came across very kind of condescending and weird, a lot of cartoon-like expressions in the split screen. So when you're watching the screen, the way she was looking down her nose at Donald, the way she was wincing or smiling or doing the, oh, bless your heart, eyebrow raise, you know, I don't know how that's going to play with independence. It was very expressive, whereas I felt Donald Trump looked like in command at the podium in a split screen.
One crumb of satisfaction that the Republicans might take from last night is that, according to one poll anyway, the first bit was about the economy. Harris was a little bit hesitant, a bit nervous in that section, and voters in that poll, or respondents in that poll, said that they felt they trusted him more on the economy after the debate. And given that that is the biggest concern for Americans, that is something in his favor, is it not?
Exactly. And of the top three issues, it's border security is number three, and the economy is number one. The second issue for Americans in this election is abortion. But the Republicans have two of the three issues in their favor. And he did try to get that border issue in there as much as he could. I wish he was able to rattle off more of his economic success in terms of numbers, because he had amazing growth in a short period of time after his tax cuts. He did drill down that she is responsible for the inflation crisis and was that final key vote to get the Inflation Reduction Act over the line. Ironic name when it did the opposite. And, you know, she wasn't able to talk about the economy, I think, in a very confident way. She is seen as a semi-incumbent. And so is Trump in a way. But she's totally trying to redefine herself. I mean, she's for reparations, race reparations. She wanted to price freezing, rent controls. I mean, this is Comrade Kamala, but she did not come across that way last night.
That is one of the imponderables of this election, is nobody seems to know anymore who's the change candidate and who's the continuity candidate. It probably is Harris, the continuity candidate, because she is vice president. She's taken a lot of pride in a lot of things the Biden administration have done. But she is, in just purely electoral rather than political terms, she is the newer candidate. And Donald Trump has run three times. And I think it's fair to say, when she talks about the exhaustion and fatigue that people feel about Donald Trump, she has a point for a lot of Americans.
Well, this is why, like, what was it? 12, 15% of the GOP primary base wanted Nikki Haley. They didn't want Donald Trump. He was a controversial candidate, and Republicans don't want him talking about that 2020 was a stolen election. That's a losing issue for Republicans. We saw that in the 2022 midterms. We even saw Democrats donate money to candidates in the midterm who believed that the election was stolen in order that they would get the nominee and be easier to beat, which did happen. So there, you know, when you're running a presidential campaign, you need to be big tent and include as many people as you can. And so, you know, that's a sore spot issue for the GOP.
On the stolen election stuff, I thought one of his weaker moments in the debate was when he was asked about this recent Lex Fridman podcast in which he'd said, "I lost the election by a whisker."
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen that. And Trump said he meant it sarcastically. And I've watched Trump quite a lot over the years. I don't think he did mean it sarcastically. I think perhaps he didn't mean to say it, but it wasn't sarcastic. It was a slip rather than a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it was seen too when it was released, right? Everyone was like, oh, yeah. That's a bit Freudian. Yeah. But he, you know, he's spinning it.
Do you think that if there is another debate, Donald Trump will warm up and get better? Because historically, he did very badly in the first debate against Hillary Clinton, better in the second debate. Biden, similar. I think he probably lost both with Biden. Do you think that he's able to get smarter in terms of the way he does this debate, focus his mind a little more? Or do you think perhaps the Donald Trump of 2024 is, as a lot of people are saying, not quite the comically potent, crazy but brilliantly effective campaigner that he has been?
I mean, he's 78 years old. I don't think you can teach an old dog new tricks, or yeah. I think he is who he is, and that's the problem. I mean, it can be a pro sometimes to have this unpredictability, but it can also be a con when you need reliability. And he's not a reliable debater. He's not a reliable communicator. You don't know what direction he's going to go in. And so he's a showman for sure. And he has charisma and he's good with people. But, you know, it's just when you're in that kind of strict setting, I guess it depends on what kind of Trump you're getting that day. It depends on what side he wakes up on the side of the bed. I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows the special elixir to give him to, and we know it's not alcohol because he doesn't drink, to get him to focus. You know, you just don't know. I mean, I don't know if it would benefit him to do another debate, in all honesty. I think she knows how to agitate him now. And it'll be too tempting for her to do that again. I think that's why she's eager for a debate, by the way, because she now knows what buttons to push. And she wants to get that hot mic moment of him saying something he'll regret in a debate.
Let's talk about Harris and the sort of state of her candidacy, because over the weekend there was this big New York Times Siena poll that suggested her momentum really has slowed down. As things stand, Trump would win the election. Last night she had a chance to sort of prove who she was, what she stands for, why she's different to Joe Biden. Even though Trump didn't pin her on these points, she didn't answer those questions at all, did she?
No, she didn't. And I have to say, I think one of the best moments for Trump was actually on the abortion issue, trying to get her to come to a term limit for abortion. You know, is it the 7th, 8th, 9th month? Because she has never limited herself on abortion, and trying to get her nailed down on that. I mean, most of the country, I think it's only 13% of the country supports late-term abortion in America. There's about 10,000 a year that take place. And there are 7 states that have no term limits at all. And so, you know, as someone who's actually moderated his stance on abortion during this election campaign, he really went into her, unlike any other GOP candidate. So that was a real strength, I think, of his, to try to get her on her record as to where she stands on issues. I mean, her website only just yesterday started posting her policy positions on the site.
And being moderate on abortion, and in fact on other issues, is in a way the secret source of Trumpism.
Yeah.
Because as that Siena poll showed, while Democrats and the media regard him as this appalling crypto dictator, most Americans think of him as moderate, and indeed they think of him as more moderate than Kamala Harris, who they regard as too left-wing.
Yeah, and in that poll you just cited, they found that Kamala was much more further to the left than Donald was further to the right.
Yeah.
So he's more middle of the road, everyday guy. And he's like, listen, I'm from Queens. Like, I'm not your super Alabama conservative, you
yes.
know?
And that clearly annoyed Harris, because that poll, because she said repeatedly, talk about extreme in response to his question. She was then saying, I can't believe that you are perceived as the centrist in this debate when you're saying things like that. And just in the context of the debate, she won that, but that may not really matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these things are, especially, you're trying to target probably low-information voters, independents. So it's like, what are they going to grab? What are they going to remember? Are they paying attention yet?
Mm.
I really think Donald Trump is so baked in the cake with the public. I think if you're not really on the fence about Donald Trump, I think you're probably more on the fence about Kamala Harris. And if she could really do the job better than Trump, or, you know, would she really be the better one? Or is she so inexperienced and unqualified, appearing so? Could we trust her? I think that's really where people are at. I think people's opinion of Donald Trump, it's pretty set.
On Sunday night, the Harris campaign finally put out an issues page on its website, which has been something they've been much mocked for, that there's no issues on her website at all. There's just biography of her and Tim Walz. But it seems fair to say that the issues page was thin gruel, and that the bits that made sense were actually directly lifted from the Biden 2020 literature. And the bits that were new and more specific sounding don't really add up to much. She's not able to define herself, because in many ways there isn't much to define.
Well, if she did define herself, she's a California liberal. Yeah. She's a lefty, a mad lefty. And she doesn't connect with most of the country. But also it's a vibes campaign. It's about joy. It's like, look at my beautiful smile. Can't you see I'm a happy person? I'm normal. She wants you to project your feelings onto her. She wants to be a blank canvas, and you in your mind, you create the alternative to Donald Trump that you want.
Mm.
And then she will, you know, she'll be that great white hope, you know, in the White House.
And do you think that the snap nature of her campaign, it's just a few weeks compared to Trump, who's been campaigning for 8 years or more, gives her an advantage, because she can get away with it to a certain extent with not defining herself, because the vibes, while they seem to be fading, may just be enough to carry people through. I mean, voters don't care as much about policies in the detail, at any rate, as a lot of pundits think they want them to.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this in the midterms again, where economy and inflation was like super high at the time interest rates was being raised. And we all thought we were getting a red wave. And actually, we didn't. It was a trickle. Mm. And it's because candidate selection matters.
Yes.
You know, we had some interesting characters in Georgia and Pennsylvania. And again, it was all the stop the steal candidates in some of these more swing areas. And Donald Trump is Marmite. And that is what she's running the campaign on. I don't need to run on any issue, really, except abortion. How uplifting and positive is that? And it's just going to be, people dislike Donald Trump so much and cannot fathom him for another 4 years that they're going to choose me.
And if policies are her weak spot, it's not as though they are Trump's strong spot in many ways. I mean, he was asked about Medicare and he said he had concepts of a plan, which did sound pretty pathetic.
It sounded honest.
And indeed, as some Republicans have pointed out, that is the correct position. It's for Congress to come up with the finer points of policy. But it does mean he can't really attack Harris for being policy thin.
Well, I mean, she did say she wanted to socialize all of healthcare. She wanted to end the private healthcare industry in the United States. So hold her to that, you know? She said that in the 2020 race, and maybe that's why she didn't even make it to the primary voting stage in the Democratic primary in 2020, because she was so left-wing, and they would actually say unlikable as well.
The next big set piece of this election, probably, unless they squeeze in another Trump-Harris debate, which seems unlikely, will be the vice presidential debate between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz on October the 1st. J.D. Vance was widely seen in the first few weeks after his nomination to be a very bad pick. All these clips of him saying things like childless cat ladies and so on, this perception that he's weird, and sort of quite a lot of sniggering about his kind of Christian conservatism among Democrats. And that appeared to be working. We don't know. But the poll suggests the public have an unfavourable approval rating of him, whereas Walz initially has had a positive approval rating and was seen as this clubbable coach figure that America could relate to. That's changed a bit recently, hasn't it? How do you think it'll be by the time we get to October 1st?
I mean, you got to give credit to J.D. Vance, who does not shy away from the microphone, is giving interviews, and he is trying to define both of those candidates as often as he can. And, you know, calling out Walz on IVF, which apparently they didn't use, but he's doubling down on, and it's all quite weird, and they think people don't care about that. It's a feels vibes election. It doesn't matter if you're lying. But he's also going after him about his military service. Yes. So you will see that come front and center. But he's a radical governor. I mean, first off, he's a governor of Minnesota, which is known for being very left wing. It was Minneapolis where George Floyd was murdered, and he did not call in the National Guard. He let the city burn for days. Businesses, and you know, most of these were ethnic minority businesses and neighborhoods. I mean, he has signed a very radical healthcare bill last year where if your child does survive an abortion attempt or a baby survives an abortion attempt, that you can let it die if it lives, which is infanticide. And I'm sure J.D. Vance will go after that.
And Trump let himself down a bit by occasionally losing his cool last night. And it's thought that Walz has quite a temper. It would be interesting to see if J.D. Vance can get under his skin.
It will. I mean, I really don't think he's a strong candidate. I know he wears the hunting cap and hopes to look like an ordinary Midwesterner, but his policies are very left-wing. And J.D. is very good at debating or pointing these things out. It may just frustrate him. If Harris does lose this election, I think, like, particularly if she loses Pennsylvania, the biggest mistake she will have made is not choosing Josh Shapiro as her running mate.
Yes.
And that Walz was actually a big mistake.
And also, because I'm such a U.S. politics bore, I rewatched the Pence-Harris debate in 2020.
Wow. You have a lot of time, Freddie.
Yeah. I didn't watch it all the way. I skipped through some of the more boring bits. It seemed to me there that Pence won that debate quite easily, actually. Harris did have this I'm speaking moment, which was seen to be definitional. But in terms of the overall debate, Pence was measured and calm, and she was irritating and skittish. But that didn't matter. And maybe vice presidential debates won't matter ever, really.
No, but if there's not another presidential debate in October, then that will be kind of the last fight or interaction. So if something memorable does happen at that debate, it could be played over and over again.
Well, Sarah, I hope you will join us on October 2nd to discuss the vice presidential debate. Thank you very much for coming on to Americano.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to that episode of The Americano Show. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave rave reviews on whatever platform you listen to it on. I would like to thank, of course, my brilliant producer, Natasha Feroz. Thanks again for listening. All the best.